Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And as you've been hearing us promote, tomorrow at this time, we'll be in the green space joined by the seven Democrats in the June 25th primary to replace the late Richard Brown as Queens District Attorney. D.A. Brown held that job for 28 years, so this could represent a big change in how the law is administered in the borough. What's the role of a D.A. in the era of both crime fighting and criminal justice reform? To preview the debate and talk about what's at stake in this election, I'm joined by WNYC's Beth Fertig, senior reporter covering courts and legal affairs, who moderated another recent forum among these candidates, and Christine Chung, who covers Queens for the new nonprofit local news website, The City, and will join me tomorrow as co-moderator in the green space. Hi, Beth, and welcome back, Christine.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
And here, listeners, especially Queens voters, if you haven't gotten your minds around this yet, are the names of the seven candidates: Melinda Katz, the current Queens Borough President; City Councilman Rory Lantzman; retired New York State Court Justice Greg Lasak, he's also a former Queens prosecutor; former prosecutors Mina Malik, Betty Lugo, and Jose Nieves; and Tiffany Caban, a public defender. And Beth, so far the big theme for this election is how much change in the direction of criminal justice reform in the DA's office. You want to put some meat on those bones?
Yeah, well, the knock against D.A. Brown for many years was that he wasn't changing with the times. Whether that's fair or not, his office has really tried to protect his legacy and say, look, these guys are portraying him as a dinosaur, when he did a lot for especially victims of domestic violence and human trafficking. But in actuality, he did not slow down, we should say, the prosecution of people on like the low-level broken windows type of offenses, marijuana possession in particular, while the other DAs did lighten up on that and say that too many people, especially people of color, were being sent to jail because they couldn't pay bail on these low-level offenses, filling Rikers. And that's been the movement that we're at right now, is after the era of broken windows policing, saying let's figure out how to, you know, lower the numbers at Rikers and close it by not going after people as hard. And so all of the people running to replace Brown at this moment are saying that they would slow down the prosecution of low-level offenses, not go after people for marijuana possession, for riding an e-bike on the sidewalk, or, you know, driving without a license, things like that. They don't want to send people to, you know, prosecute them for those things, but they want to focus on the more serious offenses. The difference is you have somebody now, Tiffany Caban, a relative newcomer, public defender, who's getting a lot of attention. And she is saying that she wants to completely rethink the role of the district attorney's office in a way that is not about sending people to jail whenever possible and using techniques like restorative justice. And the others are, you know, in that direction, but especially the former prosecutors take much more nuanced positions on those.
So do you think, Christine, that we're going to hear in this debate tomorrow pretty clearly that there's a spectrum from old school to reformer that Queens voters can make their judgments on? Like, if you look at endorsements as one indicator, I see the Daily News endorse Judge Lasak, calling him a, quote, real prosecutor. And on the other end, Tiffany Caban, who Beth was just talking about, has been endorsed by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the Philadelphia DA, Krasner, who's seen as an extreme reformer. So would those kind of be the polls, Lasak and Caban, or is that not fair?
I think that some of the endorsements that we've been seeing recently have been surprising. For example, today, DiNapoli, the comptroller, is going to be endorsing Caban, and I think that that is indicative that it's more than just a grassroots politician kind of activist support behind her. She's got more support from local electeds than some of the other candidates. I don't know if Mina Malik has gotten any endorsements from city officials or really stayed elected. It's kind of all divided between Rory Lantzman, Melinda Katz, Tiffany Caban, and Greg Lasick, more so with the law enforcement support, not a lot of elected support. But I think in terms of what we'll see with regards to, like, will we see a divergence in opinions that will really delineate one candidate as more progressive than the other? We have started to see them diverge on certain issues like Rikers, some like hot button issues like sex work. But like Beth was saying, they are all moving in a more left progressive direction and are kind of coalescing on fair evasion, broken windows policing. They all want to decline to prosecute those.
By the way, my producer says the endorsement from the controller was from the city controller.
Oh, sorry.
Scott Stringer.
Apologies.
Not the state controller, DiNapoli. Just so we know who's endorsing who, that endorsement from Stringer for Caban. And Beth, as we stay on endorsements, as a little bit of a guide here, it seems like unions are splitting up largely between the state legislator Rory Lantzman and the borough president Melinda Katz.
Yeah, City Councilman Rory Lantzman from Queens is a known quantity. A lot of the unions like him. The same with Melinda Katz as borough president, as formerly the state assembly rep from her part of Queens. You know, these are known politicians who the unions know and like and are supporting. However, the law enforcement unions are supporting the former judge and former district attorney, assistant district attorney, or head of the narcotics homicide division, I should say, to be
Lasack,
more accurate.
Lasack.
Judge Lasack, exactly. They like him. And in fact, at the panel that I moderated last week in Sunnyside, an audience member asked if any of them would seek the endorsement of the Patrolman's Benevolent Association. And the only one willing to do that was Judge Lasack. The rest said they would not want the PBA endorsement, but they're also not going to get it.
Interesting. Although Christine, Judge Lasack may have the police endorsement, but he also started a wrongful conviction review process, I see, when he worked in the Queens DA office. So is there any indication that he is any less committed than the others to revisiting old convictions and asking questions about them?
No, I don't think so. He really touts his experience at the Queens District Attorney's Office as his like role in creating a team, not a specific conviction review unit. So that needs to be made clear.
Because that wasn't allowed.
Under DA Brown. Right. And they're all now proposing in this race that they would all create a wrongful conviction review unit.
But Lasack said he did this work on the side, on his own, and expunged convictions for, he says, 20 people who are wrongfully convicted, all men of color. And so it's not fair to say that he is not committed to that work.
No.
And I see that Tiffany Caban is having a press conference today, I think right now, along with public advocate Jemani Williams, calling for an independent investigation anew of the Central Park 5 prosecution, particularly the prosecutor Linda Fairstein, I guess following on the Ava DuVernay film that just came out.
Yes. I think it's notable that the Queens DA race candidates haven't really weighed in on the Central Park 5 case. I think this is a question that should be put to them. It is something that is obviously a hot button issue right now, and we're interested in seeing what they have to say about it.
Yeah, although it's also easy for a politician, hindsight's 2020, you know, to say what they would have done, and it's not even, you know, it wasn't in Queens, they don't have all the evidence, you know, they can say whatever they want right now.
I do see that Linda Fairstein donated to Lasack.
Yeah, something like $250 reported by the Queens Daily Eagle in April.
So now that there's so much scrutiny on her and she's being forced to resign from nonprofit boards that she's on, et cetera, after When They See Us, that film came out, is he under pressure to give back her campaign donation?
I don't think so. The city did have an interview with him in March in which he was asked about this, if he had any thoughts about the Central Park 5 wrongful conviction, and he refused to talk about it. I don't know if he's under any pressure to give it back. It is a somewhat small sum, $250. He has raised more than $1 million, so really a drop of change in that bucket. But
yeah, from hundreds of people.
Yeah.
And listeners, we have a few minutes for phone calls as we preview the debate that we will have tomorrow among all seven candidates in the Democratic primary for Queens DA. And again, that primary is coming up on Tuesday, June 25th, so it's coming right up, and this is New York City, so chances are, we don't know for sure, but chances are that the Democratic primary is the election. So if you're interested in Queens and who's going to be your next district attorney, you can call, certainly listen to our debate tomorrow, and as we preview it now, if you have a question for WNYC's Beth Fertig, who moderated another recent forum among them and who covers courts and legal affairs for us, and Christine Chung, who covers Queens for the news website The City and will be co-moderating with me tomorrow, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Are there issues that we risk missing, Beth, by focusing on this overarching narrative of who's the biggest reformer?
I think what we miss is holding their feet to the fire on how they would be reformers. So, for example, you hear them talk about things like alternatives to incarceration, doing away with cash bail completely beyond what the state legislation says for misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies. Here you have Rory Landsman and Tiffany Caban saying they want to do away with cash bail even for violent felonies. And then on the issue of restorative justice, how would they come up with alternatives to incarceration where somebody acknowledges the wrong? I asked them all last week, what would this look like? Would you apply it to violent offenses in addition to nonviolent offenses? Tiffany Caban did not answer that question. She would not get specific. She said, I would use it for all types of offenses. I will not draw the line. The same from Rory Landsman and Melinda Katz as well. She said, each case is individual. But when you heard from the prosecutors, they said very specifically, it depends on what the victim wants. Mm. And I thought that was very interesting that some of them said, you can't do this unless the victim is willing. You have to include their feelings. And some said they would not use it for, you know, a murder, for example. So I think you need to think about what type of crimes are we talking about and when would you send someone to prison or to jail? Because the ones who are most talking about reform, especially Tiffany Caban, she rarely talks about any instance in which somebody should go to jail. And I think that's interesting, and it makes voters uncomfortable in some parts of the city. There are people who feel like we are now due for an overcorrection after broken windows. Jail doesn't work, and they agree with her that there need to be these alternatives and that putting somebody away isn't the cure. But then there are voters who I met in after a forum in Jamaica where they came away shaking their heads and saying, some of these candidates make me really uncomfortable. I think people should be punished for serious crimes. I don't want somebody to just get away with a tap on the wrist. So it's a tough question. And I think that is why, especially a candidate like Judge Lasak appeals to maybe the homeowners or the, you know, the the more middle class, upper class voters of Queens, who the people who still worry about crime. Let's just put it that way.
And
less so the Western Queens young people,
right.
AOC contingent.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's certainly one of the things we'll get them to clarify, all seven of them, to clarify where that line is for them tomorrow on who should go to prison, among other things.
On prostitution, that's another big difference.
Tiffany
Caban and Jose Nieves have said that they would completely support decriminalizing it, not arresting the Johns. And Tiffany Caban says it should be legalized. That way we can reduce the stigma, get help for the prostitutes, and also focus on the trafficking. But then some of the other candidates said, well, how do you really distinguish when somebody is coerced that way if you completely decriminalize it? And they were less comfortable with that.
I'm actually a little unclear on whether Jose Nieves supports full decriminalization. I heard him say it. Yeah, I think he said it at forums. But when I've asked him for follow-up clarifications, it seems a little less so. He starts talking about the human trafficking intervention courts.
Right.
So I don't think he's quite as full supportive of, you know, the decriminalization of prostitution, of sex work. I think she might be the most progressive on that particular issue.
Yes.
We'll continue in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we continue to preview the debate that we'll have on the show tomorrow among all seven candidates in the Democratic primary for Queens DA. That primary is on June 25th. The candidates are Melinda Katz, the current Queens Borough President, City Councilman Rory Lantzman, retired New York State Supreme Court Justice Greg Lasak, who's also a former Queens prosecutor, former prosecutors Mina Malik, Betty Lugo, and Jose Nieves, and Tiffany Caban, a public defender. Our guests are WNYC's Beth Fertig, who covers the courts and legal affairs for us, and Christine Chung, who is the Queens correspondent for the new nonprofit local news website, The City. And Christine will be co-moderating this debate with me tomorrow here in the green space. And we invite any questions that you have about the candidates in this very important primary, because as we said at the top, this is a pivotal moment for district attorneys all over the country. A number of very reform-oriented prosecutors have been elected in some cities like Philadelphia and Boston. How progressive a prosecutor, how reform-oriented, as opposed to, let's say, crime-busting-oriented, will the voters of Queens be ready for? We'll get a sense from these candidates tomorrow where they fall on that spectrum. And we're previewing the debate and helping to inform you about your election choices in Queens here today. 212-433-WNYC is our phone number. First priority for anyone from Queens, but you don't have to be from Queens. 212-433-9692. And Paul in Long Island City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, What I'm interested in, and I know it's a hot topic, the Central Park Five, but I followed from when it first happened, the Howard Beach, you know, rape and murder. And
also in the 1980s, that one?
No, this was like maybe, you know, 2 or 3 years
ago.
The trial just ended about a month ago.
Lewis.
There was a mistrial in the fall, and they just had the second trial.
Right, gotcha.
And the young man who was 19 at the time, and developmentally challenged, you know, black who came, I think, from East New York. He was arrested about 6 months after the rape and murder. I think the two people there were no.
Yes, of course. And we've done a segment on the Schnellhus case. Yes, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I think that guy got railroaded, and you know, and I don't know if you know that people aren't talking about that. I'd rather see more emphasis put on somebody who's going to be put away now than the five who, you know, who got out and were wrongfully convicted.
That's really a great question. And that did just happen, Beth, so recently.
Yeah.
And as we've talked about on the show and as some other media have talked about, there are so many questions about that prosecution.
Yeah, there are. And they haven't made this much of a campaign issue because if they're elected, they would be the district attorney when there's an appeal going on. The only one who I've heard weigh in on that, and maybe you've heard differently, Christina, is Rory Lantzman. He said he did see bias on behalf of the judge in that case, who was accused of being biased in favor of the victim's family. But I haven't heard the others.
No, I haven't either.
All right. Well, maybe that's a very good question suggested by Paul in Long Island City for tomorrow's debate. David in White Plains, former prosecutor. You're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi. So as a former DA, I'm an attorney doing civil litigation now, but as a former DA, one of the major issues that I experienced in the Bronx and generally in the city, is my understanding, is speedy trial. And, you know, really, I listen to your show every day, but my curiosity peaked when I heard about the Queens race, and I'm curious if any of the candidates have really addressed this particular issue, speedy trial, and as it relates to bail reform as well.
I can say that from what I've heard, they all support the reform that was enacted by Albany to encourage faster trials and to turn over discovery. They've all said that they would implement that. There's one thing that's interesting is that they all support ending the current practice of refusing to consider plea bargains once an indictment's been made. That's something that the Queens DA's office does and the others don't. So they don't want to see people being coerced into accepting a plea before they see all the evidence. So that's something that would definitely change whoever is elected.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to ending cash bail, there is a little bit of a spectrum too. Some of them, all of them, as Beth said, do support complying with Albany's practice, which is going to go into effect January 2020, which is, I think, the time that they would go into office, our next Queens DA. And some of them, I think Tiffany Caban actually supports ending cash bail for all offenses.
So does Rory Lantzman.
Okay.
And Melinda Katz changed her position. At first, she said she supported ending cash bail for misdemeanors. Now she says also for nonviolent felonies, which is the new state law.
David, why do you ask? As a former prosecutor, what's your perspective on any of that?
Well, in general, I think that cash bail is a horrible system. It disproportionately affects poor people. You know, people who have the money can stay out while they fight the case. And then that causes people who are poor to want to just take a plea to get out. It's not justice to me. It doesn't make any sense, I think. Personally, I think that what crimes are, that's another issue maybe, but discussing what really are crimes and crimes against the state versus crimes against victims and people. Then if you look at the history of the common law versus, you know, statutory criminal law, to me, you really got to separate those things out. And, you know, for example, walking around with marijuana in your pocket, you know, I would say it doesn't hurt anybody. And perhaps that should just be legalized. And certain things like that that aren't really hurting anybody should be legalized. So there's, there's a broader issue here about what crimes are, you know, actually what are crimes? You know, that's
well,
really
but that's where they haven't
to have society.
That's
but then as far as cash bail and bail in general, yeah, I think it's a bad practice. And perhaps, you know, if we focused on violent versus nonviolent, flight risk, harm to the community, you know, you'd have remand for those who are, you know, clearly have a history and it's, you know, maybe strong evidence. And then for most people, they'd get out and be able to fight their cases from the outside.
David, gotcha. Thank you so much for all of that.
Well, I was just going to say that they all agree on not prosecuting the people and seeking bail for the people on the misdemeanors and the nonviolent felonies. Where they may disagree and where it would be interesting to try to parse their differences, and I've had a difficult time doing this and questioning them, is what would you do with those people who are, you know, maybe on the cusp of being a flight risk or being capable of doing something harmful again? And this is where you get into supervised release, which is an alternative to bail, where they want to expand the city's current program of monitoring people while they are waiting for their trials. And what would you use to supervise those people? Now, many of them talk about how you can have them check in while waiting for their trials, how you can have them wear an electronic monitor. Tiffany Caban finds that onerous. She says that she thinks electronic monitors are unfair and can get in the way of people's lives. So I would like to hear them talk a bit more about what they would do.
I want to raise the question of experience and put this on people's radar. I'm sure we'll ask them about this tomorrow in the debate. But it's interesting, as they run for Queens DA, four of them have been prosecutors in the past, including one who's also been a judge. One is a public defender, but Melinda Katz and Rory Lantzman are elected officials. They're politicians who, as far as I know, don't have prosecutorial backgrounds. Lantzman's a city councilman, and he's been in the state legislature, and Melinda Katz is the Queens Borough president and was a city council member before that. So what do they say about their experience in order to be qualified for this job?
I think it should be noted that both Rory Lantzman and Melinda Katz are also term limited, which may also reveal
that's a motivation.
Something about their intentions in seeking this position. But yes, they both say that having experience in criminal justice reform, having experience in law does not, these are things that they say they have. Courtroom experience, they say, is not necessary in order to be a criminal justice reformer. Melinda Katz talks a lot about her time in the community, working as Queensborough president, also as a city council member, previously representing, I think, Forest Hills. So she spent a lot of time in the community building relationships, and she says that implementing, you know, criminal justice initiatives in the borough is kind of central to this position.
Right. She says you need somebody who on day one will know who all the players are in the community, and that she knows that. Rory Lantzman says pretty much the same thing. He does have courtroom experience. He's a lawyer who's got litigation experience, I believe, and he has been working on criminal justice issues for a while. So he says he also, you know, has that type of experience in the city council pushing for bail reform. Tiffany Caban, a public defender, has not worked in Queens. She's worked in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. But she says that being an outsider is something that will help her because she sees how the system works.
I also think that she had an internship at the Queens District Attorney's Office at one point in time. So she has worked there for a minute.
There's no polling in this seven-way race, so there's no clear way to gauge support other than fundraising as one indication. And I'm curious how much that's working for or against Melinda Katz, Christine, the Queensborough president, who is raising a lot of money, relatively, but she's also getting dinged by her opponents for raising a lot of money from real estate interests.
Right. The city reported, the city's Josefa Velasquez recently reported that 29% of all of her fundraising had been real estate interests, which is quite substantial. She has been criticized for that, but she has told us very clearly that that wouldn't be a conflict of interest because she can be fair and even-minded. And it should be said that other candidates have also received substantial money from special interests. Greg Lasek, Judge Lasek, has gotten a lot of money from law enforcement and, you know, the legal profession as well. So none of them are innocuous from powerful money.
Do landlord-tenant issues come up a lot in this job? Like when we're talking about DA and crime and criminal justice reform, I think people tend to focus so much on street crimes.
Yeah.
But other kinds of crimes get prosecuted too.
Yeah, I've heard them asked about this at forums. You know, what will you do about landlord-tenant harassment and things like that? They all say they want to protect the tenants. They want to have units in their office to look out for the tenants. They're also asked a lot about how would they protect immigrants. That's a big issue in Queens. And they've all said that they would increase diversity in their offices, have more people who can speak the languages of the immigrants in Queens, work with local organizations who can provide translation services if they don't have them on staff, and keep ICE out of the courts, which is now state law, or not law, but now the policy of the State Office of Court Administration. So they support ways of protecting immigrants.
Mm-hmm. And also saying they would mitigate immigration consequences.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That they don't want people to be deported based on how they're prosecuted.
Mm-hmm. We're just about out of time, but Beth, since you've already moderated one of the previous forums among all these candidates, do you have any advice for me and Christine for tomorrow?
Stay tough. Demand answers to specifics because they will wiggle away from you. All of them will.
All right. You on board to follow that advice, Christine?
Can't wait.
Okay, you and me. Christine Chung covers Queens for the new nonprofit local news website, The City, and WNYC's Beth Fertig, our senior reporter covering courts and legal affairs, have been our guests. The primary is June 25th, and again, tune in tomorrow when we do the show from the Green Space, and Christine and I will moderate this candidate's debate with all seven candidates in that June 25th Democratic primary. Christine, Beth, thanks a lot.
Thanks, and have fun tomorrow.
Thank you.
We'll do our best. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come today. Stay with us.